This podcast is part of Podcast One Sportsnet.
It's the greatest time of the year in basketball. March Madness, and here at Podcast One Sportsnet, we are competing against one another again in the Sportsnet bracket presented by our exclusive partners at betonline.ag. Fill out your bracket at betonline.ag and use the promo code PODCAST1 for your 50% welcome bonus.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now, Chael Sonnen's on PODCAST1.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Wednesday! And thank you for joining another special episode of Your Welcome. You know, folks, there's something on my mind. Rocky Lockridge, fighter from the 80s, tough guy, world champ. A bit before my time, so I don't know a whole lot about him. But what I do know is that he died a week or so ago, and he died with two things a lot of fighters die with. Nothing and nobody. And you folks want to know who stepped up to pay for his funeral expenses? To send him to that Hall of Fame of Champions in the afterlife. With some dignity and respect, the Association of Boxing Commissions, better known as the ABC. And I'll tell you, we as fighters fans were very quick, myself included, very quick to jump on any bandwagon to criticize a commission or a ref or a judge that we perceive to have done an injustice, an irregularity, or an inconsistency. But last week, Mike Mazzulli, the president of the ABC and the single most dynamic, progressive administrator in the sport of MMA, showed us all how the spirit and the intent to do what's right, that is what guided Mike Mazzulli and the men and women like Ken Sumbler of New York and other qualified leaders of the ABC. So props and respect to them. All right, guys, moving on. Where do we begin to unpack the weekend? Huh? Where do we even begin? I'm passing my phone off to my partner Ryan here, so it doesn't beep for you guys. I'm telling you this because Ryan's probably going to want to go into either turn that thing off or put it on airplane mode. Because I got to get rolling here. Guys, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to condescend to you, if you will. And I'm going to do this for a reason, which is all of you get a little bit of slack in case you miss a fight here or there. That's going to be very unacceptable around these parts in the coming weeks. Because ESPN has bundled everything up, including the pay-per-views, in case you haven't seen the major news. But I will give you some slack. Because a lot of you have wanted to see the fights and haven't known where to go. What's on ESPN? What's on ESPN2? What's on ESPN Plus? What's on pay-per-view? I get it. New time and a new wave. So for you diehards that saw everything, great. You'll know what I'm talking about. For you people who didn't, I'm going to back up for anybody that missed, because it was an incredible weekend over on ESPN. Okay, this was an incredible show. And we've been a little bit spoiled lately. We really have. There's been some really, really good cards lately. This was a pay-per-view quality. This had everything that a pay-per-view would have. Which means not only a great headline, a great co-main event, but then a great main card in general. You also had an added benefit of some drama afterwards, and that's what we're going to talk about. But before I get into that, had everything a pay-per-view would have, less a main event. Had a sold-out crowd, had energy, had people talking about, really great card. But in case you guys missed it, let's start from the beginning. In fact, let me think of where the beginning is. Let's start with Leon Edwards. You know, that's a name that you guys should learn. That's a name that I should learn. That's a name that we should be talking about. That is somebody who deserves credit. But he had his own approach, didn't he? We are living in the entertainment area, and Leon has not quite got on board with the entertainment side of that. I'm not faulting Leon. I'm pointing out for you guys why perhaps you've missed the name of one of the guys with the greatest winning streak in all of MMA. Are you ready for that? So he gets matched up with Gunnar Nelson. Gunnar Nelson has an extremely unique skill set. It is also a deadly skill set. If he can get you into certain positions, you are not likely to get out of them. If he takes your back, you are not likely to be able to continue on in the evening, just by example. So Leon comes to this fight, and a lot of people are expecting Gunnar to run over him. Now, a lot of you guys that really pay close attention, absent of Leon not coming out and speaking up on his own behalf, you guys were pretty happy to speak up for him and go, wait a minute, this guy's a killer, and you are right. I thought that that was a pretty classic battle going in. And by classic battle, I'm talking about you've got a striker in Leon and you got a ground guy in Gunner. And if you can have more minutes on your feet than you do on the ground, it's going to favor Leon. If you can have more positions on the ground than on the feet, it's going to favor Gunner. I think for the most part, I was right when that was done. But Leon really showed us a lot of things. I mean, he did. He dealt with some adversity. He dealt with a tough fight. He dealt with some condition. He dealt with a hard 15 minutes. He dealt with a fight that went all over the place. And at the end of the day, he got his hand raised. And I realized that 11 other athletes on that card did the same thing. But for me, as a fellow competitor, if you beat Gunnar Nelson ever, I don't give a damn what the circumstance is or how you did it or how close of a fight it was. If you get over on Gunnar Nelson, for me, you are going to have my respect for life. It's not going to go, you lose your next 5 fights, you get released, be out of the business. I will respect you for the rest of your life because it's an extremely hard skill set to deal with. Leon went out there and he dealt with it. Save Leon. Store that away. He's going to come back a little bit later. Okay. So you move on and you got Masvidal versus Darren Till. And I did not like the way that this was promoted from the jump. And I don't mean that on the promotion standpoint. I mean from you guys. From fellow members of the media. Somehow the storyline of this fight from day one, and nobody could get off it, was that Masvidal was giving up too much size. Open and shut case. Open the book, close the book, nothing to see here. Masvidal's too small to go with Till, the end. He's going to go out there and give it the old college try, and if he can make it several rounds, then great, we'll all be entertained, but there's just simply nothing to see. I don't know where that started. What are you talking about? First off, you're talking about 15 pounds. I mean, from the beginning. I mean, the sport's become wussified to the point that we even give a damn about 15 pounds. I mean, the foggiest, I don't know a fighter that cares about 15 pounds, at least not for my generation. But for some reasons, that really carried over to the fans, and that was all there was to see. I think if you would have just looked a little bit closer, particularly with the benefit of hindsight, but if you would have looked a little bit closer, you would have seen a dynamic, aggressive stand-up fighter in Darren Till taking on a guy that wants to sing that same song. That is Masvidal's game. Let's go out there and put our chins down and see how many punches and kicks and knees and elbows we can give to the other guy. And let's not even talk about this whole going to the ground business. So matchup-wise, it was compelling. Now you can still place your bets. Do you like the longer reach of Till? Do you like the youthfulness of Till? Do you like the experience of Masvidal? But that, I always thought that should have been the story. And particularly when you're talking about a stand-up fight, and guys, we cover this all the time. It does not favor the bigger guy. The only time that size advantage is a true advantage is when you're grappling. When you're standing up, it always favors the smaller guy. There's a reason that the super heavyweight division is not even contested in modern day boxing. Many of you forget that it even exists. It doesn't exist because they're not any good, and they're not any good because they're too slow to move. You guys, many of you think that heavyweight is the highest class that commissions regulate and sanction in boxing. You're wrong. They have a super heavyweight class where they take them above the limit. You can weigh 400 pounds and get in there and a commission will sanction it. It's never featured because those guys suck at the sport. And it's not a knock to the guys. The sport requires speed. Muhammad Ali in his prime, 198 pounds. Mike Tyson in his prime, 220 pounds. You can even carry it over to MMA from the Stipes to the Cormiers to the Verdums to the Fedors to the Coutures of the world. They don't meet the weight limit. I don't believe we've ever had a champion, even in MMA. Don't hold me against this. I'm telling you, I don't believe we've ever had a champion, even in MMA, that met the limit that wasn't named Brock Lesnar. It doesn't favor the bigger guys unless they're grappling heavy. And no matter how many times we cover this, clearly as the biggest, loudest voice in the entire space of MMA, there seems to always be the pushback from the water cooler from the day that some guy's kid got his ass kicked on the playground and we had explained it to the coworkers his next day. He had to go, well, yeah, you know, Junior got a black eye, but the kid was bigger than him. We always seem to default with that. No matter how many times a bigger guy and a smaller guy fight and the bigger guy loses. It is a size disadvantage when, and I must add this asterisk, you're talking about a stand-up fight. So when you guys were looking at Till and Masvidal, and you were all leaning towards Till, and you're not wrong to look at Till. Till is a complete stud. Even with the loss of his last two fights, Till's a top five guy in the world and will climb back up to a top two and three and possibly a champion. Don't forget how young he is. None of this is a commentary or rebuke on Darren Till. It's just to point out what's right in front of everybody's face. But nobody wanted to take it in that direction. They just quickly dismissed Masvidal as too small. And there never seemed to be any other legs or arms to this octopus. That was it. That was the fight. Nothing to see here. Let's put it in England so the hometown crowd can come out and support Till, even though we know the outcome of this contest. You all like saving cash, right? Well, you know what's even better? Saving hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. And if you dig that, then get ready for this because you can do it right from your living room. All you have to do is go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket, it just might be the most rewarding thing you do today. Okay, so you have that analysis from me. But there's another historical fact that seems to be overlooked. And even I did not bring this up. I must admit to you guys, I thought it, I didn't find it compelling, and I didn't have my numbers in line. So I never mentioned it to you guys. But I think even after the fact, you'll appreciate the fact. There is something very real about a number one contender in his next fight not looking very good. And many of the former number one contenders that go back into the mix in their next fight, many of them did get their hand raised. But I will stand by my statement that they didn't look very good. It might have looked good enough to get it done that night. But they generally, there's just a slip. And I don't even have an opinion for you as to why, but I can tell you it's a very real thing. I can tell you there is something about being out there, being in the spotlight, having the attention, and buying into the fact, okay, I've made it to the top of the mountain. I've gone as absolutely far as you can. And because of that experience, and because of that knowledge, I am now a veteran. And whatever I do next is going to be easy. And it falls in line with people believing that the really hard fights are the really big fights. And the less big fights are easier fights. And that is wrong. I don't give a goddamn if you're at the dog park in an amateur fight in front of 80 people for no money and no attention and no cameras and no media. You could have a really hard fight. And it doesn't matter if you're in the cage over at Bellator or in the UFC. It doesn't matter. That may not physically be a harder fight, but I will concede to you it is a much bigger fight. And there seems to be something very real about that. I'll bring Conor McGregor into the mix because it's a name you guys will recognize. But when he went into the Khabib fight, he spoke about this at the press conference and it made me think twice about Conor in that fight. And he was talking about how this fight, as big as it may seem to you people, is half the fight that I just got done with. This will do half the numbers and half the attention and half the gate of what I just did with Floyd. So as impressed as you guys may be by what's on the line for Khabib, I have been there and I have done that. These were his words. I am not quoting, but I am absolutely paraphrasing for you his words. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, one's got nothing to do with the other. I'll personalize this. The second fight I ever had in my life, I fought 49 men. The second guy I ever fought, I fought for free at the Roseland Theater in Portland, Oregon in an amateur fight in a professional wrestling ring because the promoter couldn't even shell out the cash to get a ring. That same opponent, I rematched. And guess where I rematched him? In the UFC on live television at the Hard Rock Casino in the first fight of the night. Just to put in perspective for you. The hard fights and the big fights do not go hand in hand. And the athlete that falls for that will fall on his sword. I'm not offering to you right now a commentary on Darren Till because that would sound as though I'm being negative to Darren Till. It's just an analysis that a lot of guys go through. And I also happen to think, based on that historical statistic, that Darren Till was going to underperform. I just happen to think that. I'm sharing it with you guys now, but it's a very real thing. I've watched a number of other amateur fighters Here's one that comes to mind. Chris Lieben, in his either first or second fight, fought Pat Healy on an amateur card in either Pat Healy's first or second fight. It was a split decision. It went to Lieben, and they both went on to the UFC. Just by example, that was a tiny, small fight that nobody wanted to see and nobody was talking about it. Later in their career, if I was to tell you that Chris Lieben was going to fight Pat Healy, you would stop what you were doing and you would turn on your television and watch. So some of it is just timing. But I see this misconception happen constantly, where a top guy fights a guy that's ranked and separated by him by 8 or 9. The number 2 guy fights the number 10 guy, and the number 2 guy automatically thinks, I'm 8 spots better than this guy. And you find out one has nothing to do with the other. Then you find the guys that are ranked somewhere in the top 5, and they refuse to fight somebody unless he's got a household name, because he's not worthy of their time. Those guys know the secret. They are pretending and projecting to the world that the guy isn't worth their time, when they know what I'm actually telling you right now, which is those fights are razor thin. It's not just through 2 through 10. 2 through 20 is anybody's ballgame on any given night. But there is something in the past about guys coming off of title fights who underperform in their next outing. Just a real thing.
You're listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Alexa isn't the only one with breaking news. Make sure to hang around at the end of this podcast for the latest breaking headlines on the AP News Minute.
March Madness is upon us, and Dan Patrick has you covered.
I probably wouldn't do the hat because I don't want to mess up the hair.
Join Dan and the Danettes as they keep up with every twist and turn in the NCAA tournament on the Dan Patrick Show. Every day, hear the hottest takes and the biggest celebrity interviews from the world of sports and entertainment.
As cocky and confident as Baker Mayfield is.
Don't miss the madness on the Dan Patrick Show, right here on Podcast One.
I know my listeners out there are training hard and striving to be the best. Well, if you want to get that Olympic competitive edge, then hear me out about our new sponsor, Biotropic Labs. Biotropic Labs is a premium, custom formulation sports supplement company delivering measurable results to athletes and people who move. Their founder, Craig, and his roots in world and Olympic class competition, knows what you are looking for. Craig began experimenting with a stack of unusual ingredients to formulate an array of supplements that really bumped up his training, giving him better competitive outcomes. As a result, Biotropic Labs and their flagship formulas focus on blood oxygenation, providing a nitric oxide effect that relaxes the blood vessel walls. This is critical for energy and oxygen carrying red blood cell support. So if you want that edge, and I know you do, go to www.biotropiclabs.com. That's biotropiclabs.com, and use the promo code CHAEL at checkout and you will get 20% off Biotropic Labs flagship and premium products, plus free shipping. And just for listeners of this program, you will get anytime returns for one-time purchases. Plus, save even more money when you choose AutoShip, bringing the total discount to 30%. Again, that's www.biotropiclabs.com and use the promo code CHAEL at checkout for 20% off flagship and premium products, plus free shipping.
Now, back to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
After the fight, I told you guys to store away the name Leon Edwards. So, Masvidal's backstage. He's doing an interview. And as he's doing his interview live, it's live on ESPN, as he's doing his interview, somebody walks past him and says something. All you can see and hear is Masvidal. But Masvidal's reaction isn't really worked up in the least. Masvidal responds in a polite way, no profanity. He realizes he's live on TV. He finishes his interview. Masvidal is exactly what you would think a guy would be that just came off of this huge win where he was the underdog in a division that he's trying to make a splash in. Just got a little show money, just got a little win bonus. I mean, he's high on life. He's being great. He's thanking some people, brings his family into it. He's being great. When the guy walks past him, I have to call him a guy because it's not been revealed to the audience yet who this is. Masvidal says something to the ESPN cameras along the lines of thank you, and I'm going to leave now. And the camera somewhere got the sense that God gave Geese that something's about to happen, and they followed him. Sure enough, something was about to happen because Masvidal walks up to Leon Edwards. I couldn't quite hear what was said, but I did see what Masvidal called a three-piece and a soda. I will simply tell you guys, a four-punch combination, all of which were blocked by Leon Edwards' face. Now, that's not great news. That's an assault. Leon didn't understand. Did not deserve that. And I also must arm you that I don't know what Leon said. But I do know what Masvidal said Leon said, and it was something along the lines of, hey, you're next, I'll see you in the summer. There was no profanity, there wasn't anything great there, but that happened, okay? I'll personalize this. If that had happened to me, I would then be fighting Leon. I would go to the media, I would go to the promoter, we will set up a ring, and we will go take care of whatever it was that you said to me that has now offended me. That was my code. Those were the rules that I live by, and there's a lot of bravado for that. There wasn't a lot of guys like me, anybody, anywhere, anytime, any weight class, any set of rules. But that was still the code. Masvidal's playing a different game. Masvidal's code is prison rules. When the guy makes eye contact with you, you make him answer for it. You guys decide whether that's a cool thing or not. I'm just letting you know, I have known George Masvidal since 2008, and I could have tipped Leon Edwards off, and unless you're looking for a fight right now, tonight, just walk past him when he's doing his interview. Keep your eyes down. You go enjoy your night with your team. You let him go enjoy his night with his team. Now, where this got a little bit more interesting, and I realize that is not great. Masvidal punched him in this whole thing, and it happened at backstage. By no means am I the guy that's finding bravado in this. I don't in the least, but I'm telling you the story is the way it happened. Two sides to every story, though, isn't there? So what I saw with my own eyes... not good for Masvidal. Masvidal, dick move. You owe him an apology. That's what my eyes told me. Masvidal had a different side. I'm not the jury on this, but I will present his side and let you guys decide. Masvidal said, no, 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 not so fast. Don't give me this. I hit him four times and he hit me none. Okay, we're fighters and that's the name of the game, first off. There was going to be no he hits me or he throws the first punch. We were squared up. I'm going to go where he's going to go, and it turned out that I went first. Fine, store that away. Masvidal also said, I was surrounded by hooligans. Now, that was very interesting to me, because right out of the gate, Masvidal has now made them the bad guy, whether they are or not. He called them hooligans. And then he said, I was surrounded by them. There was about 10 of them, and I was all by myself. I was scared. Masvidal said. And while you saw me walking up to him, before you decide to judge that, don't forget the earlier part of the tape where he walked up to me and he engaged me first. So I walked over to him to let him know, sure, we can do that fight. And before I knew it, he came at me and began to raise his hands. Fortunately, even though outnumbered by hooligans, fortunately, I was able to protect myself. Well, do I think that's a spin? Yeah, sure I do. Sure I think that's a spin. Do I think that's a really, really good spin? Yeah, I do. George Masvidal verbally convinced me to interpret something differently than what my eyes had just shown me. I got to give it to George on this one. I mean, if you're looking to get yourself out of a jam backstage, he had a three-prong approach. First off, called them hooligans, made them the bad guy. Secondly, said he was outnumbered, which is factually correct. He was outnumbered, okay? And then third, said Leon came at me for, fortunately, he said this, fortunately, I was able to get my hands up and protect myself, but I was scared. You ever get in a street altercation, make sure you tell the authorities when they showed up you were scared. If you're ever going to plead self-defense, make sure you include the word, I was scared. Guys, I'm not trying to put something special on this. I do not condone this in the least, but this was a piece of theater that was included in the show, and it is well within bounds for us to speak about it. So you guys go out and decide, but I do have a feeling. I mean, what do you do? What do you do? Leon said he wanted the match. George touched him. they're in the same. What, I think you make the match. And what else was very interesting about this in some ways is Ben Askren went all the way out there. I mean, he went all the way to England to pursue his picking of a fight with Till. And frankly, it was all going Ben's way. Media was getting behind it. Till was starting to respond. Audience was engaged. Now all we need is Darren to get his hand raised. Did it happen? A little bit of a surprise. So where's Askren go? And he doesn't really give a damn where he goes, I don't think. I don't think he cares, but I do think that he prefers that it isn't Robbie. And I don't think that's for the same reason as you guys do. I think a lot of you think, okay, he felt Robbie. It was a hard fight. It was a close fight. It was a controversial fight. Go out and do that fight again. Oh, he got away with one he doesn't want to do. And I don't think that's true. I think that's very amateur. And I think that's very lazy to come to that conclusion. My interpretation is Ben's going, hey guys, look, I got a little bit of a late start over here. Okay, I had to go do 18 other fights in two different continents, in multiple promotions. I'm a little late to the game, and I don't have any time to waste. Say whatever you want about Robbie. Say it was a script. Say anything you want. I really don't give a damn, but I need new blood. I need new parity, and I need as many opportunities through as many either current world champions or former world champions with a meaningful name and reputation. I need a contract and a date with those guys. That's what I'm looking to do. And wherever the chips fall, but that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to compete with fresh blood, and I don't need a 4 and 5 month separation in a new training camp and a new media tour for the same blood if there's no belt on the line. That's just not what I'm here for. I'm either good enough to reach the goal or I'm not, and I can live with the result either way, but time is ticking. So give me a new opportunity, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to come out and try to influence you to do just that. I'm going to present to you other storylines with other names, with other guys. Sooner or later, somebody's going to take the bait. I think it's smart. I think that's a more sophisticated approach, and I think I'm accurate in my assessment. But let me finish this thought. One problem. Okay, you got a lot of reasons to redo Lawler versus Askren. You have a controversial finish. You have a fantastic moments of the first fight. You have good buildup. You have a reason to redo it. But you are missing a very important ingredient, right? You are missing the participants wanting to do it. Of everybody who is called for a rematch, of which many of you fall into that category, two guys that did not call for the rematch was Lawler and Askren. Lawler didn't say anything, and Lawler's not going to. He's just not. Askren did come out and speak on it and said, man, I didn't want to do the first fight. No, I don't want to do the second fight. So that hurts that fight. That opens the door. It opens a window to go, okay, present me with something better, more interesting and more compelling. And I will admit you got an ear. You don't have both my ears. One of my ears is going into rematch, but my other ear is open. What do you got? It's the greatest time of the year in basketball. March Madness. March Mania and March Money. Well, here at Podcast One Sportsnet, we are competing against one another again in the Sportsnet bracket presented by our exclusive partners, betonline.ag. Sign up for a free account right now. Go to betonline.ag, use the promo code Podcast1, and you will get a 50% welcome bonus. Once you're all signed up, fill out your bracket online. But make sure you get this done by the deadline, which is tonight at midnight, each week throughout the tournament. The Podcast One Sportsnet show that has picked the most games correctly will be rewarding its listeners with money into your betonline.ag account. So even if your bracket gets busted early, you still have a chance to win some cash. It's the Sportsnet bracket presented by betonline.ag. Don't miss out. Tonight at midnight is the deadline. And don't forget to use the promo code Podcast1. So another thing that was pointing back to, maybe they are going to rematch, is what are you going to do with Lawler? If he's not going to fight Ben, what are you going to do with him? What is that other option? If you're not going to put Ben against Lawler, what else are you going to do with him? So if I was with you a week ago, we certainly could have blown some wind in the sails of the direction of Darren Till. But that one didn't work out. So what does Askren do? I don't know the answer to that. I'm posing a question to you guys. He's open to anything. And he has already responded. Okay, I'll take Masvidal. I wanted to fight Till. Masvidal beat Till. Didn't see that coming. Did come. Give me Masvidal. Fine. But it would appear to me that Masvidal now has business he's got to attend to with Leon Edwards. I don't believe we can get around that one. And the only way we will get around that is if somebody wants to go, look, pump the brakes, and this isn't the way we're going to make fights. We're not going to make fights by breaking into rooms and grabbing dollies and smashing them through windows. And on very rare occasions, that's just the way the wind was blowing anyway, and so now we've got that, and that supports the premise. But we're not going to create a fight out of nothing by bad behavior. That is a very real thing, and that is the only thing that may stop Masvidal versus Leon. That may stop it. In fact, I'm pausing. I'm pausing and I'm thinking. And I think I would probably go as far as to even predict for you guys that will stop it. Because you see where that becomes bad. You see where that could cause a reward for something negative. That's not actually what happened with Conor and Khabib. A lot of people that were Johnny come lately said that that happened. Said, well, they've got this B-roll, they've got this footage, they're going to go make a mega fight. Don't forget the timeline of that. They were coming at each other anyway. Both those trains had already left the station. You then had that act. It would remind me maybe of Mike Tyson versus Lennox Lewis, if you will. They were coming at each other anyway. You then had the press conference with the Biden. It would remind me of John Jones versus Daniel Cormier. They were coming at each other. You then had the press conference of the bad actions. So we'll see what happens, but we certainly don't want to start that message. But it still does leave for you. Where do you go with that division? That division's been tested over the course of the last month. Four meaningful matches with eight meaningful athletes. So what do you do and who goes where? Which includes the losers. It would include the guys that came in second. Darren Till's next fight is going to be a big fight. Darren Till just sold out an arena. Which represents, of his last three outings, two home runs that he sold out arenas. Wonder Boy sold out as well. He was close to a sellout in the one that sandwiched in between with Tyron. Oh, I'm only pointing out for you guys, Darren Till's in high demand. Darren Till also fought a really good fight that night. He just got caught. Nobody's questioning Darren Till. His stock isn't dipping. I could swing that right on over to Tyron Woodley. Tyron Woodley, former champion of the world. One of the greatest of all time in that division. Also is one of those silver medalists. And they had four fights. They had eight guys. Top guys. All top 10 guys. So who goes where and where do those pieces fall? I think that it's interesting, but I think that this is one of the fun parts of the fallout of a great fight weekend. Or in this case, a great fight month for the welterweights specifically. I think it's a very fun byproduct is when we sit down and we try to decide and then we start arguing and then we start bickering about who should go what and where. Hey, by the way, if you want to see Conor McGregor take on Cowboy, you guys better get your ass to work. And I'm not kidding. I'm talking to you guys. If you want to see that fight, you better go out there and make your voices heard. Because something fugazi is going on. And I do not know what it is, but I can back up to Australia when I was with Donald. And that fight was a go. They didn't have the contracts done. I understand all those things. But he went on stage. Boom. He made the announcement. Everything was cool in the gang. Conor had responded, it was all done by social media, we all got it, okay, boom, let's just get a date and go. And where there is smoke, there is fire in this sport, 99% of the time. But now there's a new narrative, and it is not only that Conor versus Cerrone is likely to not happen, it's now as far as Cerrone versus Ayala Quinta is being discussed to happen. By the way, not for nothing, amazing fight. I'm just wondering how we got to this point. It's not as though in make-believe, no matter how difficult Conor is being, I'm sure he's a pain in the ass. I only say that because every time, it's the same song and dance. Eh, we got this fight. Well, you know, we got to talk to Conor. And then Conor, oh, I got to have a piece of the company. And it's just something ridiculous that isn't going to happen. But it ends up working out for him, right? He ends up sitting down. He ends up renegotiating a contract that has already been negotiated and signed and agreed. And dirty or underhanded or not, he gets his way. So, not a whole lot to see here, but the point I'm trying to make is Conor's going to fight somebody. So if it's not going to be for the title, Khabib's the champ, hasn't been stripped, out on suspension, whatever's going on there, interim championship, about to be figured out between Max and Poirier, Conor's going to fight somebody. So who's he going to fight? Why would it not be Donald? That appears to be the fight that all of you, I'll throw myself in that mix, the media, everybody wants to see. So I'm just wondering, where we, even if we're dealing with the hassle that is Conor McGregor, and don't forget, this isn't a work by Conor. This isn't some hustle for media attention. And guys do that all the time. And that's fine. What I'm saying, when Conor comes out and goes, hey, I want a piece of the company, as absolutely backwards as that is, where the inmates take over the asylum, in his mind, that's how business works. When Conor got some stroke and got some run and his name got out there and everybody wanted to be in the Conor business, that's the way they came and presented it to him. Hey, Audie, can I get a meeting with Conor? Yeah, I'll set up a meeting. Boom. Hey, Conor, put your name on this, do this, and we will give you a piece. He thinks that's the way business is done. He doesn't know any different. I'm not making fun of him. He thinks. And he has examples, lucrative, good examples to prove that he's right. He goes, wait a minute, this is how business is done. I participate, I give you my image, I give you my likeness, I work hard, I put in a lot of time. You give me a stake. I never write a check. That's how business is done. You write the check. But sometimes, and for some guys, it's not by the book. It's not usual. In fact, it's unusual. It would be a bad proposition in most cases for somebody to come in and supply that. But in Conor's world, that's the way it's been done. So for him to just lend to the examples that he has, I mean, isn't that what all of you guys do? Don't we just lend to the examples that we have? So no, he's not going to get a piece. And no, he does not deserve a piece. And no, yes, the only way to get a piece with the fellow shareholders is to write a check. Not to devalue and break him off something. But you still have to play this game. So if we're going to play the game and we're going to go through all of the levels that you have to go through for a guy to get a contract signed, even though he has a contract, I still argue that we do it for Donald. I still argue that the most interesting fight out there right now with the players that are available is Donald. If I'm wrong, I will be wrong. If you guys think that I'm right, you guys are the ones that are going to have to decide this. You're going to have to speak up and be heard. Let's take a moment to give a big shout out to our friends at TrueCar. With TrueCar in 60 seconds. That's all you're going to need to get an offer on your vehicle. And the amount of time it takes you to floss your teeth, to pet your dog, or do a few of those New Year's sit-ups, you can get a true cash offer. Best of all, you can do it right from your smartphone, even from home. Just go to TrueCar. Simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Answer a few questions and you will get an accurate true cash offer from a local TrueCar certified dealer. It is that easy. After that, bring in your vehicle. They will check it out with you. You'll answer a few questions, so there's no surprises. Then simply leave with a check or trade in your vehicle for a new ride. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today. True cash offers not available in all areas. Oh, guys, do a little favor for old Chael, all right? I need a suggestion. My Sundays are burned. My Sunday evenings, I should clarify, are burned. I've been into Shameless. Before Shameless, I was into Ray Donovan. Now it goes to Billions. And as good as Ray is, Ray's a little overrated, but as good as Ray, it is very good. As good as it is, Shameless is better. As good as Shameless is, and it is very good, Billions is the best. Billions is one of the best television shows in the history of TV. And I don't mean the way it made. I'm talking about the storyline, the acting. For me, I cannot watch it. It is so good. Now, I don't mean that I will never go back and watch it. I mean, I got to DVR it. I got to bank the whole season. And then I got to binge watch it. I have to. So for the next 8 weeks, I have nothing to watch on Sundays. And I don't know where Veep is. I should add that as well. My favorite, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Elaine. I don't know where Veep's at. Veep is hilarious. Silicon Valley is off, and now Billions is on, and I can't watch it because it's too good. Which is the same problem I have with Game of Thrones, another show that I will put amongst the best shows ever made. So I need something to do on Sunday nights. You guys have something. I only need an hour. Got about an hour of downtime? I want to put it to use in front of the tube. Zoning out. Help me out. You guys got suggestions, let me know. Go to social media, at Chael Sonnen. All right, guys, I'm looking at the clock. I'm looking at the fact that I got to get over to Curtis's to get some boxing in and attempt to get even better, if at all humanly possible. And I have to notice, our time here is done, but we will be back on Friday. And until then, I'm Chael Sonnen. Thanks for listening, everybody. And you are welcome.
Thanks for listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com. Can't keep up with all the latest scandals?
It's a bullshit question.
Then it's time to check out Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One.
I was going to unleash a torrent on anybody who was violating attorney-client privilege. I was pissed.
Join world-renowned criminal defense lawyer Mark Garagos as he reviews the latest in our nation's most high-profile legal cases with podcast king Adam Carolla.
Well, then we're circling back to MJ.
Okay.
Because I'm not done with that.
Download new episodes of Reasonable Doubt every Saturday on Podcast One.